From Lubbock Community Theater, this is Five Till Places.
Thank you, Five.
Everybody, thank you for being here for another episode of Lubbock Community Theater's Five Till Places. I am Jed.
I'm Daniel.
And we've got a whole gaggle of people in the room with us. Why don't we just start at this end of the table and we'll let you all introduce yourselves.
Hello.
Hello,
my name is Edward Thunderberg.
Yo, what it do? It's Evagius McGee, yeah.
Hey, I'm Liberty De Leon.
Charles Springs Jr. But what, you said a gaggle?
A gaggle.
That's What's a group?
A I think a gaggle is...
It's a group.
Isn't
yeah.
it a laugh?
Because if you have a gaggle of geese...
Well, it's a
yeah, yeah, like a geese. Flock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a whole bunch of geese.
Sorry.
I don't know if...
flock.
Just had to get that out the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely a swan.
That's so beautiful.
It's very, it's a sign of self-confidence.
Definitely,
and that's
I'm
good.
King's I'm the swan.
So, every one of our guests here is a cast member of the upcoming production of Pipeline. And do you want to go around and tell us who you play? And we'll. So, since we started at this end of the table last time, as if the audience can see what I'm indicating, why don't we start at this end of the table this time?
Oh, with the deep voice guy.
Yeah.
Charles Plains Jr., I play Xavier.
I would deep voice.
Who is the father?
The father.
Are we re-saying our names?
You don't have to.
You don't have
You can if you want to.
Oh, okay. Well, I play Jasmine.
I'm your father.
I'm not the father. I'm the girlfriend.
I'm done. Yep, this is Bob talking. And I'm the coolest security guard you will ever want to see, so...
I saw part of rehearsal tonight. The security guard was pretty cool.
You know it. Yeah. So I'm ready to catch.
Stop giving him props.
Yeah.
Y'all know the story. Y'all would.
I think
him.
Amari has more swag. I'm kidding. I don't. But I, Edward, I play Amari in the show.
And what is this show about? What's a like a brief summary, a spoiler free summary of?
Give it up, Liberty.
So Pipeline is a story about how I'm sorry. Pipeline is a story about how educators deal with life outside of education, inside of education, beside education. It is an educator's story. It follows Naya and her son Omari, and altercations happen between teachers and students, and altercations happen between teachers and security guards. Everything just kind of blows up in the middle, and then slowly bubbles down.
See the aftermath of the blowing up.
Yes, yes.
So really, you're saying it's a topic that will draw a conversation.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Charles. Yes,
I was going to say that from her description, it sounds like it's a show about altercations.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is an educator's. Yes. That's it. Just educators and altercations.
That's what the shirt should say.
educators and altercations.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a lighthearted romp.
No!
It's heavy.
No, that was the case.
I think it's pretty heavy. It gets a lot heavier during the second act.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of deep stories to tell, or stories going on within the show.
And that
so it's pretty heavy. It's pretty
absolutely
heavy. Make you think.
I was just going to say, like, a lot of these issues that they hit on, like, these are real problems, like, within the inner city schools. Growing up in that and going to that, like, actually seeing, like, these are big schools, these are problems, and it's understaffed when it comes to security. It's a heavy job, like, and it's heavy on all of us, but, you know, it's being pushed off by the people in power. So that's really one of the big things that this play hits on, and hopefully we can get some people thinking about, like, what's actually going on in the community. Like, wake up, people.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
I'm super excited to actually see this. Like, this is one that I've been looking forward to. Like, yeah. I know it's going to be one of those ones you got to, like, go in with the right mindset because it's going to make you encounter some stuff that you probably need to deal with. But,
right.
Yeah.
So. Well, Daniel, don't bring your kids. It's definitely not a family show. There are many... a cuss word, and just it's an explicit show.
Right.
There's complete honesty.
There's strong adult language. There are, and we've had people messaging the Facebook page asking us, "Is this appropriate for my 12-year-old?" Probably not. I mean, as a parent, what you're ready for your kid to see, and what you know. These are important discussions and important issues that need to be talked about, but also. The show is not marketed at your 10-year-old, no.
NC-17.
Would you say it's that bad? Or?
I don't even know what NC-17 is. I know it's above rated R, right?
I think it's above rated R.
It's above rated R. NC-17, because R you can get into with an adult.
Okay.
Under 17. NC-17 is 17. It is a strict no one under 17.
Even with your...
No contact 17.
I don't know what the NC stands for.
I don't either.
I mean, for movie rating, this play is most definitely rated R. Because what it's like with movies, if you have more than one F-bomb, it's rated R. Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier. Like, you get one F-bomb in a PG-13 movie.
Oh, no. This one has multiple.
This one has like four.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. Depending on if we, forget.
Dropping line.
Yeah. Depending on if we forget our line, too, there might be a couple more, you know?
You might add some more in just for authentic flavor.
Just for fun.
Mm. Yeah. Although I do remember, I feel like in high school, that is literally how we were talking, though.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I wasn't cussing in high school.
No, I wasn't.
Well, I was. I was pretty good. A lot of seasoning.
That's a very good point.
What's crazy is my parents did not censor themselves. They were like, my parents were like, I saw Pulp Fiction when I was 12 in the theater. So, they were very much no, you're fine. I was so, scared of getting in trouble, I didn't cuss until I was probably,
I was
probably 17.
My kids are the same way, when my kids were born, my wife and I had this notion that we were going to clean up our speech. No, that didn't happen. And a couple of years in, we gave up, and we just started lecturing. We talked to our kids about... Daniel and I have talked about this too, that we refer to it as adult language rather than bad language because we feel like there's a lot more harm you can do with, not bad language than you can with just hearing a cuss word, know. But,
Because words aren't inherently bad of themselves, it's the meaning behind them
the
that makes
behind
them
it.
Like
it.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
And now that they hear us use this language and talk that way, and we've just talked that way. We've had these discussions with them. They have no interest in swearing at all. So it's
that sounds awful.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
That's how grandma talks.
Because it gets worse when they have that bubbly stuff in the cup.
My mom still cusses like a sailor. So to this day, she's in.
I feel like the older you get, the worse her mouth is because the world just hits you and you just want to say what you got to say. And sometimes, it just comes out and hey.
You see that's more and you care less.
Yep.
By care less, I mean care what other people think about it less. It's not necessarily what you care less about.
Yeah, church, because wait a minute.
Y'all gotta cut that out.
I can't repeat it on the show, but it makes me think of a Mr. Show comedy sketch about a televangelist on a show called Swear to God. And it was.
Oh my God.
I can't repeat the jokes here on while we're recording, but it was real funny.
Oh my God.
So you've told us a little about who your characters are, and we've talked a little bit about what the show is. So do you each want to take just a couple more minutes to go a little more in depth about your character's journey and what their role is in the story, or?
Ladies first.
Oh, okay. so Jasmine is a stereotypical, stupid, stupid teenager. And she, I'm telling you, she has the mindset that, I mean, modern day teenagers do have. And it really all comes down to, I wish that teenagers had a more realistic depiction of what love is. Because she doesn't, and so she doesn't understand, and she's fighting for this boy who doesn't want anything to do with her, and that's completely okay. But she thinks, I mean, you know, teenagers, if it doesn't work out, it's the end of the world, and blah. Yeah. And she's a very, like, wall up emotional character, and you can see her take it down for like 2 seconds and then throw it right back up. So, like I said, she's a very stereotypical teenager who doesn't trust her parents because she was sent to private school. So she does. So therefore, she doesn't trust any parent because, oh, they can all send their kids to private school. She doesn't trust her boyfriend because, I don't know. So she doesn't, and like, it all comes down to her just not understanding herself and the whole just realistic love depictions. I really wish that those right. were more apparent.
All right, who's going next?
Go, Charles.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, well, Xavier is... he's like a nice dad. He's like most strict fathers. His way is the way. My way or the highway, you know. If you challenge me, I'm gonna go right back at you. Type. That's the character I have to play. Yeah, just don't typecast me.
Yikes!
The dad, get him in there.
Every time I walk up, Charles is gonna play the dad. No, I'm not.
Yep, he's the father. We already got him.
He can be strict. Look at his kids; they all in order. All right, bye.
All right, well, done. Is this done. Security guard from like heaven? So like, he's this guy who really tries to like hold everything together, really trying to make the work day the best he can, because it is hard, you know, his job. So he tries his best to find ways to get through the day and keep that smile going, and yeah, he's dealing with a lot of stuff. Yeah, he's just, hey, you're really in there, you know. He'll get your attention now. But yeah, like, he's a really cool character to portray. And the issues that he talks about, like, these are real things. He talks about gang violence amongst the kids, how they are so, their feeble minds are so susceptible to joining a gang. Like, they were born into this. Like, you ain't got no choice. There's a legacy in that. Like, a lot of people don't really look into it, which really hits close to home, but I ain't gonna go deeper into that. But yeah, it's like, these are real live things. Like, like, this stuff really is like happening, and a lot of people are not lucky enough to get away from that. Some of us are, and some of us ain't, and it's just how it is, you know. But yeah, Omari, what you got for
us? He's about to cry.
Omari's at this. Wow. Well, I mean, I should have cursed. Omari's is a very smart and astute kind of guy. Really, he knows how to handle himself, but at the same time, he deals with trying to like be himself, but also not be what other people want him to be. Because since he's from an urban community, he has to deal with like going to a private school and how people treat him and sees him differently because of who he is as a person and what they think he is as a person. And so it just, you just see what Omari trying to deal with, you know, trying to be himself, but at the same time, not let people think who he is. He's very good at hiding his emotions, really. And, like, he doesn't really show it to no one except for, like, his mom sometimes. And when it comes to his girlfriend, he pretty much just keeps a straight face and doesn't, like, you know, doesn't show his true colors to her because he doesn't want to seem vulnerable to her. But at the end, he's dealing with a lot with his parents' divorce and what he really feels about his dad. And so he takes all that anger and depression and brings that to school, which is so unhealthy, especially in a school where they see people of color in a different way, really. And so, yeah.
Sorry. I was about to sneeze.
Oh, I thought you were going to cry because I thought I did really good, but never mind.
He's definitely crying, y'all.
Tears are flowing.
How was the process of, like, putting the show together, Ben?
The process, it's been pretty smooth. We have a professional cast, so as soon as the lights come up, we're ready to rock and roll. So yeah, getting prepared hadn't been too hard. It's just knowing our conversations.
But at the same time, it's hard in a way where, like, you gotta play characters that are not typically yourself as a person. For me, I'm not really a cool guy and level-headed. Well, I won't call him level-headed, but more like, you know, a cool guy who acts out with rage, like Amari is. Mm. I'm not like that. So it's hard for me to, like, you know, take my happiness away and by bubbliness, that's a word, I don't know, into a character who's more like, you know, a straight-up...
A more reserved kind of...
Oh, reserved kind of guy. That's better. Not G.
Like, G.
As in good.
No, okay. As in a good guy.
Good
guy. I was really struck by, and this is one of the reasons that we wanted to use it in the promo, really struck by your line about knowing the rage and how there is a legacy in that. Like, that seems... That feels really central to the story and to the themes to me, that you feel like we have... it. Like, this show is not meant to show, like, oh, violent inner-city kids or teachers who don't care about these kids or anything. It's like... I was particularly watching the scene tonight at the start of, or near the start of Act Two, where security guard and teachers are all arguing about an incident that has just happened in the classroom, mm-hmm. and whose fault this is, and why did it turn out this way, and it's really the deck was stacked against everyone.
Absolutely.
And you said earlier about how these... everyone in the system is being pushed aside and forgotten by those at the top of the ladder, and that seems to be really what perpetuates. It's not about why are these kids so violent, or do the teachers just not care about them? Why can't they control them? It's about all these forgotten people being pushed and shoved to the side by people at the top who don't have the time or the need, don't feel like they have the need to care about what's happening, or let alone to deal with what's happening.
Right, absolutely. Like, that understanding, like, there are people who are in high places who could care less about what's going on in the community below them, if that's how you want to...
That's how they view it.
Yeah, like, if that's how they would view it, because it's like these things, like, what's happening, like, that's not something that these kids can control. Like, that is something that, like, you like I said, you're born into that. It's either you do this or you face violence from your own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have no choice. It's violence to get in, and it's more violence to get out. And those are the things that these kids deal with. So this fight that they do, when they say again, like, they have to fight each other. Like, that could be, like, something like a mission, like, you have to fight, like, this person, like, y'all go to the same school, I don't care, I know where he is, and I know his grandma's state, like, that's his hood, like, that's the thing that they battle, and these teachers, they don't really understand it, because they don't understand, like, those hood politics that come into play when it comes to stuff like that, and that's one of the things that the security guard, Don really talks about, because with him, I really feel like Don came from, like, he was a product of that, and he didn't get a chance to, like, you know what, go out there and follow his dreams and become a teacher. Like, he became a security guard, someone who is considered expendable. Like, we can get rid of him, like, at the drop of a hat, and then get somebody else in here, and nothing will change. Everybody will go on, like, it's normal. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just really what that scene really hits on.
That's something that struck me also, that Dunn says in that scene, that if you get in trouble, you get early retirement, but what do I get? And that's a whole different world.
Fast food.
This whole...
anybody want a Whopper?
This whole show really gives everyone a different perspective of everything. Because in that same scene, Lori says a line that goes somewhat like... because an altercation happened between her and a student. And she says a line that goes somewhat of, not everybody who's never taught my class or who's never been inside of my classroom is my judge and jury. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yeah.
It's you dumped a bunch of kids that you don't want to deal with into a system that you don't want to deal with, and then not equipped the people who are supposed to be helping them to help them, because you don't want them to deal with them either. You just don't want to deal with this problem. It's easier to just throw it all away, and this is what happens when people get thrown to the side.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, that's your problem now. Here, send them over to the other school.
Yeah.
And since that is the
they really,
that
is exactly what
they really do. Mm-hmm. That. Like, I knew a guy. We're gonna get rid of that 1%. He's 99% of everybody doing right, but we're gonna get rid of that 1%.
Yeah.
Like, that was on the intercom. So, like, it was really crazy.
So while the show is not going to be, you know, lighthearted fun for the whole family, it is having a conversation that very desperately needs to be had.
Yeah.
Now, it's not all gloom and all that stuff.
Right.
There are some funny moments.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
Don't show up thinking that it's just going to be right in your face the whole time.
Right.
You will laugh. You are going to laugh. Only you know right now.
But it is something that needs to be.
Yeah,
to be
but you
said.
Have to mix that in.
Yeah.
Really. Well, because even the last show that was in here for Peter Pan on her 70th birthday, like, it's about a dad dying and his kids dealing with that. But that show had a lot of humor in it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it would just get real sad, make it real sad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I forgot.
Am I really crying or laughing still?
So, yeah.
you gotta laugh to keep from crying. Like, that is the concept.
And honestly, I think that this is one of the shows that it is intentional to make you uncomfortable at certain points.
Yeah.
It is intentional. Lindsay, she's the one who plays Lori. She said, talking about how people are going to be uncomfortable with this, and she wants people to think, would you still be uncomfortable if the race roles were reversed?
Flipped, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's something to take from it, of course, but she said that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I was really like, poof, yeah. Yeah.
That was a long explosion. Well, I'm very much excited to see it. I think I'm going to try to come watch it this weekend, and then next weekend we're going
to... We try to film every show for LCT's archives, but this is very much one that I want to sit down and just experience and then worry about, you know, doing the work part and coming and filming it, but I want to just sit down and watch it.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, can I watch it too? Like, I want to see. I want to see it worse. Like,
it's different.
You can't see from the side. You know, I'm peeking.
I
want to
see myself on screen.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what's going on. Like, I wonder what I look like.
Going back to, you said, how was the process of, like, putting the show together? It was all fine and dandy until Edward tried to kiss me the first time, because there was this kissing scene.
Oh, heck yeah.
Edward
yep.
did not know how to hold my face while he was trying to kiss me. His hands were over my ears. I had earmuffs on the first time.
I didn't want
and it was
kiss
it was
her.
Like have you for SpongeBob, you know that where he's like, Patrick, the lid. Put your hand on the lid. That's exactly how it was. So yes, it's a very serious show, but we've had a lot of fun together as a cast, I'd like to think, at the very least.
Yeah. I've only ever had one on-stage kiss, and it was with a friend of mine, and it was real. We were both real awkward about it, and we kept, like, we were
every time we got to the kiss in rehearsal, we just kind of like lean in and be like, kiss, and then go on. And then like tech week, she came up to me backstage like, we're going to have to actually do the kiss. We can't, we have to rehearse the kiss. We can't just have the first kiss be on stage. But yeah.
Yeah. I've never done a drama. I realized as we were talking, I was like,
yeah.
I've done a couple musicals and comedies. I've done Clue, which is a comedy. So, I mean, I got to kill somebody, which is fun. But wow. It's not dramatic at all. So,
tragedy.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah. Sort of.
So, it was real funny.
Clue's a slight dramedy. So. Slight.
Slight.
Slight. But that's crazy. But no, never done. Wow.
Has anybody been slapped on stage?
Yes.
I have slapped people.
Yeah. Long story.
Was this part of the show? Or was it?
So, like, we had to do this show called Gospel and Colonists, and I was supposed to be Polynices, and I was fighting Oedipus, and we had a whole, like, fight scene, like, people getting slapped, roundhouse kick, like it was a whole thing. Like, and this was like my first show. Yeah, it was a musical. Like, when I tell you, like, it was, man, like it was one of those like shows that had a little bit of everything. It was crazy. You ain't know what was happening next. Like, man,
that's funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever been slapped on stage.
It's not fun.
I've once. I believe. And it was for Wizard of Oz.
No.
It was my first, like, actual full-scale musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the lion. And this, I want to say she was 8, maybe 9-year-old, was our Dorothy.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, we're just going to nap it. So, you know, like, she was going to come up to me and I was just going to slap the side of my thigh. Or I was going to clap my hand. Well, this little girl during our final dress, I guess I was too close to her or she was too close to me. I don't remember.
Hit you.
But she socked me right in my eye. And oh, I was like, oh.
You mean to tell me she Will Smith you?
Yeah.
and everyone. All right, go around the table. Everybody's opinion on Will Smith.
I lost my courage.
Everyone on the stage was like,
oh, whoa.
It was a standing silence for like 2 minutes, and I was like, I'm not going to really cry on stage because 9-year-old just knocked me out. What just happened? So, yeah. But that was the one, like, non-scripted actual real slap I've ever gotten on stage.
I had to do some stage combat where I had to try to strangle a woman who ended up instead stabbing me in the back, and I had to fall over. And then I had to lay there dead for the next full scene and not breathe while the guys are walking around my body wondering what happened. And it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Dialing for murder. Yeah.
Nice.
I've
seen
it.
Not the play. I've seen the movie.
But yeah.
I accidentally slapped someone on stage before.
Yeah?
I didn't mean to.
Was it Liberty?
I think.
Oh. Slapped her.
Were you the 9-year-old?
Is it you? Is it you? Oh my god!
I was Dorothy.
I'm remembering it all now.
You were there?
Yeah, you were there.
He was a tin man.
who did you slap on stage?
I was in college. I was doing an opera. I slapped someone actually from like elementary school, third graders.
Oh, so that's why the 9-year-old. Oh, that's how we do it.
Yeah,
you actually hit because I saw.
Yes. So you're the one.
I can't wait to practice this.
So even though you're not
but this is my moment.
She's gonna be so surprised.
He'll be proud of me. Hope he sees it.
And it's so funny because like the week after that, we started studying like that group, that specific group. We had like this other camp and we started studying the different types of acting. And method acting came up. And we were talking about it. And this little girl raises her hand and she's like, so like when I slapped Liberty. And I was like,
I know what we're talking about.
No. Yeah.
Get the gloves.
Can I use the restroom?
Get the gloves.
Get the gloves. You're going down now, yo. Right. We ain't acting no more.
Yeah, Liberty just stands up like, come here, you want to hit me again?
Here's your gun. Let's take these 10 pieces.
Do this again. Yeah, come. Yeah, what's that?
Man.
Oh, gosh. So Pipeline opens this weekend, April 15th through 24th. Look on the website. It's right there on the front page. You can get some information about the show. You can buy your tickets, which you should do. We are trying to encourage. Lubbock is very much a last-minute town, doing a lot of walk-ins. And we love you for that. We love you that you come to the show, but reserve your tickets beforehand so that we know you're coming.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
That's lubbockcommunitytheater.org. April 15th through 24th, Pipeline. Buy your tickets. Do it.
Now. Please.
Yeah, yo.
All right. Well, that seems like a good place for us to sign off.
I'm gonna go to community.
You're watching Disney Channel.
Now he's gonna do the thing.
Yeah, you.
That don't look like Mickey.
No, I've seen videos where they'll take the kids with the wand and they'll trace out what they're actually really tracing, and it's these squiggles that are
like,
all like,
oh my god,
So. Yes, I want to thank the majority of the cast of Pipeline for being here with me, and I want to ask the rest of the cast of Pipeline who wasn't here, where were you?
What's up with that?
Oh, we were waiting for you.
They were in a PTA
really disappointed.
Long rehearsal.
Yeah, I'm not really disappointed. I understand being tired. I'm just teasing you. But thank you for being here with us. Thank you to everyone who's listening. What? No, what? Oh,
I was looking at Edward. I'm sorry. He made
a
noise.
Oh, I thought you were admonishing me.
No.
You were admonishing.
She was
doing does not
no,
approve of
a
my outro.
How dare you?
She wants to end the show.
Usually Beth is sitting here with her eyes on me making sure I get the ending right because she hasn't memorized better than I do. But nonetheless, we want to thank everyone for listening. We want to encourage everyone to come see Pipeline April 15th through 24th. And with that, we'll sign off. And see, now I'm.
Yeah, because you're like, thank you to all the things. It's like,
yeah, there's a whole thing.
And my
Beth,
co-host and our guests.
I need you, Beth.
And then you say, this is
we'll
Ben.
So, on behalf of myself, my co-host, and our guests, and Lubbock Community Theater, thank you for being with us. This has been Five Toe Places.
Thank you, Five.
We out. Oh, no,
Five Till Places is a production of Lubbock Community Theater. Be sure to follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates surrounding our projects and the goings-on at LCT. Our theme music is Pizza and Video Games by Bonus Points. Additional music this week is Nothing But Love by ASO. A link to that artist and their music can be found in the show notes. Look them up, give them some support. Thanks for being with us this week, and as always, thank you for supporting live theater in the Lubbock, Texas area and beyond.